Matt Kempel, thanks for coming in and talking to me.
Sure.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. You know, I was born in Findlay, Ohio.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I've driven through there. I blinked once and I missed it.
Yeah, you can. You can. The only thing it's known for is Ben Roethlisberger, who went to Findlay College, I think, and now plays football for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ah.
And the Wilson Burger, which is a cheeseburger that's one of the 150 best in America, as is the Thurman Burger, which originates in at the Thurman Bar in Columbus, Ohio.
Very interesting. Now I'm hungry.
I know. Suddenly, I've stopped eating meat, but suddenly I really need a cheeseburger.
Yeah, so yeah. It's in your soul. You need it.
Maybe we should say what you do. You know what's one of those things? I used to hate those conversations where you meet somebody at a party and the first thing you say to them is, what do you do? But what else do you say? What do you do? That's how we know each other.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you do?
Sometimes I wonder what I don't do. And
you
that
do
kind
do
of whittles the list down. Mainly I produce comedy and theater shows for a living.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, live theater and comedy events.
The Milwaukee Comedy Festival, for one.
Indeed, yes.
Is that the largest?
It's the largest in the state as far as multi-day comedy events are concerned. But it's certainly not the largest in the country,
No.
Or anything like that. But, it's going on 8 years strong now.
Wow.
It's been really exciting.
Getting bigger and bigger all the time.
It is. But it's an exciting challenge.
Right.
And it's something that I really look forward to. So in addition to that, we started putting up shows now on a monthly basis in this new venture I have called the Underground Collaborative. And that's sort of the physical location where a lot of my productions take place. And there's an art gallery and a dance studio and things like that. So
let's talk about that a little later. I want to find out a little bit more about you. But first of all, I want to find out, do you do comedy yourself?
I do. I started out like in high school and in college doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And
in high school?
Yeah. There were some talent shows, and I wanted to be involved with them in some way, and I always loved comedy and,
right.
you know, grew up watching Bill Cosby and, you okay. know, Richard Pryor and just all those.
Now, was there comedy sports in Columbus when you were
no.
in high school?
No, I don't believe there is now either. I really wasn't exposed to improv until I got to college. Where there's a comedy sports in Green Bay, or at least used to be, and a lot of those guys would be involved with the theater productions that
right.
I was doing. So I started getting involved with improv just from doing warm-up games before theater shows.
Right.
And we all really enjoyed that, and then kind of delved a little deeper and started to take some classes and go to shows and just really got excited about being part of comedy. And I liked how it related to theater, and I could use aspects of things I was learning in comedy in my theater career and vice versa, you know,
right.
having a strong theater background and going on stage as a comedian can be very helpful.
It always surprises me when kids in high school, at the high school level, are doing stand-up, because
yeah.
stand-up seems to come from a place of having already been destroyed a few times by life.
I agree. I was fortunate enough to not really have that kind of stereotypical growing up, but it's amazing how many professional comedians that I talk to that really did have rough upbringings or difficult childhoods
or
abusive parents. I mean, you name it.
Right.
But, you know, using comedy as a healing tool is very powerful. So it's exciting as, you know, somebody who puts these kinds of people on stage to see them succeed, but it's sort of heartbreaking to know that they're succeeding, you know, by hopefully fixing their pain or, you know,
right.
trying to remedy their pain.
But they're fixing it. And they're
yeah,
using
I guess.
It. They're
so.
Finding a creative outlet for it rather than using an axe or something or putting on a leather mask and
sure.
going after people. But so you started in stand-up and then sort of discovered improv as a connective tissue between stand-up and the theater itself?
Sure. Definitely kind of that realm. But also, I sort of moved out of stand-up just out of necessity. I mean, I was in high school and college, and all my jokes were about being in high school and or being in college. So when I graduated from college, I didn't really know what direction to take my jokes. I was sort of in a lost place as far as
right.
personally, I didn't really know where I was going. and didn't really know how to make that funny. So then I started to get more involved with producing, specifically more so theater shows at that point.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to St. Norbert College, which is in De Pere. It's right outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay. So you went from Ohio up to
Green Bay, yeah. Green Bay. And for some reason, Ohio State football and Packers, I'm not much of a football fan, but yet I surround myself by...
Yeah, you go to these huge football... You'll come from a huge football town and go to another huge football town.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure why that is, but I've had a lot of fun along the way and...
Did you come to Milwaukee right out of college?
No, I moved back to Ohio, luckily not back in with my parents. I at least was able to get out of there.
Luckily for you or for them?
I think a little of both, probably. Right. Probably more on their end. But the last thing I wanted to do was to move back to Ohio, and I ended up there. But I had some good opportunities. And then the last thing I ever wanted to do was move back to Wisconsin. And I've been here now 10 years since I said I'd never move here. And
what dragged you or brought you to kicking and screaming to Milwaukee?
When I after I graduated college, I went back to Columbus, like I said, and I was just sort of trying to find myself. I was trying to be an actor full time, and there's just not a large theater scene in that city, so I kind of outgrew that pretty quickly. And then I was just sort of, I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in, what I was going to do. So I kept visiting friends I had here in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Right. And we sort of decided, I guess they kept saying, oh, you should move here. You should move here. There's a lot of fun here. And I was like, well, I don't know where I want to go, but I want to go to Chicago, or I'm going to go to New York or L.A. or, you know, any one of those major cities that you think of theater or comedy.
Those are the three that people sort of go to if they really want to, like, yeah, make it big.
So I kept visiting Milwaukee with the intention of going to those cities, and I realized that Milwaukee just has so much to offer. And I got really excited about maybe I should come here. So my friends sort of convinced me, hey, why don't you move here just for a year until you figure out where you're going to go? So I did, and that year turned into 10 years. Mm-hmm. Some of it has just been luck, or the ability to, you know, do exactly what I want to do here in Milwaukee. And I think there's, in some regards, some better opportunities here just because it's sort of got that small town feel. You know, people are willing to work with you and help you out, you know. At least that's the feeling that I get.
Right.
So it's just kind of a welcoming atmosphere as far as theater and comedy is concerned.
And there must be a good audience for comedy in Milwaukee.
I think so. When I was first starting doing comedy shows, it was a much different world here in Milwaukee. The comedy scene had some exciting things going on, but nobody other than like the in crowd, the people that were friends of the comedians or friends of friends, they couldn't really find things like improv and sketch comedy outside of the comedy clubs specifically, which are bringing in acts from out of town, and comedy sports, which is a lot of fun, but that's a different kind of style of comedy from the type of things that I'm doing. They have what's called short form improv, which is sort of game-based improvisational, and what I've really found a love for is long form or more story-based improv. Right. So comedy sports is, you know, such a fun experience in a family-friendly environment. And what we're trying to do is kind of do something that's more, I guess, more theater-like if you think about it, where you might get a word from the audience and say the word is toaster, and you might have a 45-minute scene that's about, you know, a relationship where all you do is burn the toast. And, you know, I just, something about that kind of an atmosphere is very exciting.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, long form does let you exercise a true actor's chops, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think that
short
to
form
me...
it seems to be more of an obligation to be funny.
I think so. Well, and also it is in some ways, not to say that the people that do that kind of comedy aren't talented. They're some of the funniest people I've ever had the pleasure to work with. Extremely talented. But some of the games are designed that They can be very funny without a lot of effort necessarily from character work or things like that.
Right.
But again, I'm not trying to, you know, put down that style of comedy. It's just a different
maybe
style.
Maybe you are, actually.
Well, why you gotta hurt me like that? No.
I'm kidding. I was starting a scene. So the Milwaukee Comedy Festival is focused on long-form sketch, or is it does
oh, no.
every, covers
it,
everything?
We try to encompass as many forms of comedy as possible.
Okay.
And that's why it was originally called the Sketch and Improv Festival for a couple of years. And I realized that kind of goes back to your question about audiences. We realized that we really needed to educate audiences in those early years. A lot of people didn't know what sketch and improv comedy were. They heard comedy show and they instantly thought stand-up comedian.
Right.
And I think a lot of comedy shows are stand-up, but what I want people to understand is there's a lot of different styles of comedy. So that's what I try to bring to all of my shows, but obviously the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, we bring acts from all over the country and even Canada and perhaps beyond in the future, we'll see. And they all come, you know, for the festival and perform together, and we try to put a show together that has a little bit of stand-up, a little bit of sketch, a little bit of improv, and hopefully if you see, say, two or three improv groups or a couple of sketch groups all at the same time, they're still going to have a different style to them.
Right.
And so it's sort of like if you go to, you know, you go to see Summerfest, and yeah, there's those big name bands that you're excited to see, but there's all these other styles of music happening at the same time. So
right.
you may walk from one end of Summerfest grounds and hear blues, and then you hear some jazz, and then rock and alternative, and then maybe there's, you know, heavy metal or country. It's a very exciting atmosphere.
Right.
So
speaking of Summerfest, there used to be a comedy stage at
yeah.
Summerfest, and there is no more. Were you around in the days when the
I wasn't, although it's possible I may have been visiting Milwaukee
right.
in that time. But, yeah, I know there used to be a comedy sports stage there. They used to have comedy stages. But this year, Lewis Black is coming. He's headlining. That's very
he's
exciting.
He's going to do all the announcements for the he's going to, like, MC all of Summerfest.
That's incredible.
Lewis is a friend, and he loves Milwaukee. He loves playing there.
Yeah, and he has such a unique style to
yeah.
his stand-up that is he's just got that high energy, and even though a lot of it comes off as angry, it's just so much fun to hear him deliver. I would listen to him read the phone book. I think
right.
he's a lot of fun.
No, it would be good, and he'd waggle his finger at your name. It's interesting, though, something you said before about how audiences do tend to think of comedy and they think of stand-up comedians because those are the ones that are famous.
Right.
And we talked earlier about, I have a theory, we talked earlier about how stand-up comedy comes from a place of having been destroyed or understanding what it, because you're sort of fighting your way back, and there's a healing process, both for the comedian and for the audience,
sure.
I think. Because the stand-up comedian is sort of the sacrificial lamb. He goes up, and Lewis, I think, is a personification of this. He goes up and says, in a way that, and he doesn't die, but he comes near to having a heart attack every time.
Yes, absolutely.
The comedian kind of sacrifices himself, the way Sam Kinison used to sacrifice himself, scream
great
his
example,
brain out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But sketch comedy we don't know about, but we're beginning to, because I think Saturday Night Live sort
right.
of started to introduce us to what. And they came out of Second City.
Yeah, and I would say even earlier than that, like the Carol Burnett Show, and, you know, even going back to the vaudeville days of comedy where
right.
there would be those kinds of short snippets of funny bits that people would put together. And that sort of, I think I would probably need to do a little more research. I'm sure there's people that know more about this than I, but in those early days.
You can lie.
Yeah, oh, okay, in that case. But it's sort of that talking to the audience, but also kind of talking to the
their partner
in crime on stage, right, and sort of joking with them and joking with the audience. You sort of have those early days of stand-up comedy kind of come out of that, and then also those early days of sketch comedy. So it's sort of, you sort of see that evolutionary path split,
right,
you know, in those early days. And then even... even improv comes out of that, you know, audience members shouting out at a prepared bit and them having to defend themselves on stage,
right,
and win the audience back.
No, and lots of comedians live off of hecklers. I mean, Don Rickles, who's one of the great ones, one of my favorite ones. If nobody's heckling him, he'll heckle you, so he gets something going back.
Yeah, Lisa Lampanelli, a more current comic, she kind of embraces that idea too. And can be so vulgar, but in such a way, sort of like what you were saying about Lewis Black, where just kind of embodies this emotion to such an extreme that you can't help but find it hilarious.
Right, right. And all those old vaudeville routines that were routines, and they did them every night, or nine times a day, every night on the road, all over the country, those started as improv routines between two guys in some way, and then they're structured. Now, does sketch comedy get that? I mean, does sketch comedy ever get written down, or is it purely...
I think a lot of it is strictly based on who is putting the sketch comedy together.
Right.
There's so many different styles and ways to go about it. I would say a common thing that I see is, especially like out of that kind of Chicago style of comedy... Right. Is sometimes a lot of scenes will come out of improvising. You know, if you and I are doing a scene about a toaster, for example,
right,
and it evolves into an incredibly funny bit about, you know, it's actually not the toast we're yelling about, it's our relationship we're yelling about.
Right.
That might be something, oh, this is a great idea, let's write it down. And so through improv, you can write sketches. And
right,
I know sometimes... sketch writers, they'll have just a loose idea of what a sketch is. Okay, this is where we're going to start. This is sort of the conflict that's going to come up. And then in the end, this is what's going to happen. And everything in between is improvised.
Right.
And then I've seen, you know, on a third side of the coin, if there can be such a thing,
there is
in this world.
This is audio, no video.
So all of these visual aids and projections I've been using this whole time, not really... Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed them.
I have. We'll have to let them use their imagination.
Exactly. So,
On the third side of the coin,
I know some sketch groups that they will write every single word down and do everything on paper and then rehearse it word for word, and that's exactly what you get on stage.
Right.
So I think any combination of those is acceptable. It's whatever that group of people finds to be the most effective method for getting what they're trying to...
And at the Underground Collaborative here in the Grand Avenue Mall, in the basement of the Grand Avenue Mall.
Where the artist belongs.
Where the artist... is that your byline?
It's something like
the
that.
The Underground Collaborative, where the artist belongs. I like that, in the basement. You're focused on, first of all, giving space to a lot of different disciplines, I suspect, right?
Yeah.
Because you said earlier.
We rent space to groups that are looking to put theater and comedy shows on. There's an art gallery that... my business partner, Christelle, she runs the Covart Gallery and is constantly rotating the artwork. And it's really exciting for me to be in that kind of an environment,
right,
where there's this high-quality artwork and it's a creative place. And I'm coming in and every day it's kind of a different feel. And it's just kind of an exciting environment to be doing what I'm doing.
Right. And you do plays there, too. I mean, didn't you just...
I can't even imagine how many theater shows I've worked on in just the last month. But Pink Banana Theater has their home base in the Underground Collaborative. So they have their offices there, and most of their shows have taken place there as well.
Do you have shows constantly? I mean,
pretty constantly, yeah. It was amazing this past Easter weekend. I didn't have anything scheduled in there for, I think, 3 days.
Because it was Easter?
I think because it was Easter, and a lot of people weren't interested in that date. And so as we got closer, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to just leave that off the calendar so that I can actually take a day off.
Could have been a good time to do a resurrection. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you never know where he'll show up.
Roll that rock
aside. Could be right there.
That's
yeah.
right.
So it was nice to be able to take a couple of days off spend time with my wife Dawn and her family and such. But yeah, it's been very. We're celebrating a year this month in April. Cool. And when I think about it, that's incredible. I can't believe it's been a year.
Has it just flown by?
It has in some ways, but it's been such an exciting ride. I mean, certainly been ups and downs. Yeah. But ever since I moved to Milwaukee, I wanted to open my own venue, and I just was sort of. I didn't realize it at the time, but I've spent the last 10 years preparing for this.
Well, it's a great place to do it, too. I mean, I love what they've done with the Grand Avenue Mall. I mean, all the different things that are here. You're down there, and there's a lot. It just seems there are more people here now. Three years ago, you could have walked through this place. It was a ghost town.
Well, and in fact, even 2 years ago, it took me about a year of looking here and other places in the city to finally decide and take the leap. Right. And when I first came, it was a little crazy. There, you would walk from one end of the mall and maybe see 10 people.
Right.
And it was, for lack of a better word, it was sort of pathetic. If I can just give a quick shout out to Tracy Corpella, who is the leasing and marketing manager at the mall. Right. She did a lot to bring in new businesses, local businesses, arts groups like myself and Art Milwaukee, and even, I think, Third Coast is involved in that.
Now, is it tough to get? I know she's great, and there's. I think I've met three women that all seem to sort of have to do with turning this mind of this place around.
Yeah. And it's incredible. Now there's hundreds of people here all the time.
Right,
it's incredible.
Constantly. Now, and so you have no trouble getting audiences? I mean, audiences are aware that you're down there?
Yeah, I mean, they're slowly learning. I mean, they can always be better, of course.
Right, sure.
But it's exciting. We put some signage out. I mean, we're right under the lower level below TJ Maxx. So that's a pretty popular area with the fruit stand there and the TJ Maxx there. Certainly a couple of flubs here and there with people, you know, not quite able to find their way. But as over the year, I mean, the first couple of months were real rough, and now
a word of mouth will spread.
Yeah, a lot of people know we're down here, and it's been really exciting.
And people get used to coming back.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you get a drink down there?
Well, we have a BYOB policy.
Okay.
And we allow people that way because we're working on getting our liquor license, but we don't have one at the moment. So the mall...
hard to be a comedy club in Wisconsin, especially without alcohol.
And, but, you know, that's the honest truth, that alcohol is a big part of what people do. But there are plenty of venues in around the mall that you know, do offer that to people. So if they want to get a drink before or after the show, or if they want to bring something reasonable with them to a show, that's certainly acceptable.
What's going on now, and do you have in your head what the calendar is for the next month?
Yeah, well, we have three major shows coming up next week, which might be this week, depending on when this airs.
When this goes up,
On Thursday is the Comedy Arcade show, which is half stand-up and half improv.
Okay.
And that's a really exciting show. We try to bring in some of the best in the city and really showcase them for that event. And then on and that'll be on April 11th. On April 12th is the Tall Boys show, which is the tallest comedians in town, the tallest improvisers all got together to do a show, and they have some really great on-stage chemistry. Yeah. So they're putting a show together, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and Beth Lewinsky is going to be doing some stand-up. She's a full-time player. Yeah, she's tall.
Right.
But she's a full-time player at Comedy Sports, one of the funniest people that I've ever met.
Yeah, I've done
That's
some
exciting.
Things with her. She's great.
Yeah, and then on Saturday, April 13th, will be the Retro Comedy Show, which will open up with a little stand-up, then we'll have some improv or sketch, and then we close things out with taking a classic sitcom and performing it live on stage.
Is there a regular, like every Saturday night you can count on this happening, every Friday night you can count on this happening?
We're slowly getting there. Right now, the Arcade Comedy Show, the Retro Comedy Show, and then there will be a new variety show will be premiering in the next couple of months.
Right.
Those three shows will be every single month in a rotation. But right now, we've had so many rentals, we're not really able to offer a weekly showcase.
Right.
But that is what we're hoping to get to in the future.
Well, you know, that's how Louis Black started doing what you're doing in the West Bank Downstairs Theater Bar in New York.
Oh, wow.
He started with a couple of guys he went to Yale with, started running a little theater showcase for stand-up comedians, playwrights, musicians. Everybody came in there and did it. Hmm. See what it did for Lou.
Wow, very exciting.
Matt, thanks for talking to me.
Oh, thank you so much
for having me. Good luck down there. I love the space down there.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.